love you hold for us, that we might open our hearts to the love that you call us to hold for each other, to those near, to those who are strangers or others from ourselves, into our communities of love and grace. All this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Happy New Year. It's good to see you on this first Sunday of 2007. It does feel like January now, doesn't it? Beginning to. I'm not sure what 50 degree temperatures are like in January. That's just weird, isn't it? But it's good to have you here, even if it is getting a little colder. We have begun, beginning on Christmas Day, we have begun a process for us as a church in terms of faith development. On Christmas Day, we went through just a short process of trying to remember 2006, things that were important to us, ways in which God touched our life. And I even put you to work, didn't I? I made you write some stuff down with music in the background. Last week, I asked you to look at a few things in terms of 2007, the future. To know you are loved by God and to write your name saying, you know, Bill Shaw is loved by God. Put it on paper. Secondly, to think about Christmas 2007, planning for that. Not shopping, but to plan when you get to the tree of 2007, what do you want to remember you did in 2000, in this coming year? In terms of activities you did, in terms of people you actively loved this coming year, and in areas of growth you wanted to be a part of. Finally, I ask you to think about, you know, what do you want to be like in 10 years from now? Even realizing I may not be here then, but what kind of image do you want? What kind of person do you want to be? And then start to think about what does that mean for us to do? Little actions that end us up there. Today, I want to continue that discussion about future 2007. And I want to do that for this Sunday and a couple Sundays to come. I do want to tell you before you start running for the door, the pencils are locked away and you're not going to see them. So you won't have to write anything down today. I've already been told by significant people in my life, I didn't write anything down. I said, I've learned my lesson then. How's that? See, we can learn. Did you know that? But today, I want to talk about relationships. In terms of thinking about relationships that we have in our lives and what that means for 2007. Next week, I want to talk about issues of sin and brokenness and go right at it. What is that issue in your life? And what are some things you can do to try to make sure God is part of that difficulty that you have or that sin that you can't get rid of to help you with that in your life? Finally, the next week, the 21st, I want us to talk about our calling for 2007. What kind of ministries are we involved in to receive God's love and to share that with the world? But today, I want to talk about relationships. Because I think that's foundational for all of us as believers in Jesus Christ. I know theology and belief is important. I know Scripture and the Bible is important. I know tradition is important. You know, I know all kinds of things are important. But if you look at who we are, what is the rock foundation of our lives of faith is relationships. That's how God has called us. If we look at our Scripture witness to what God has been doing, at creation, God made Adam. And then who came right after? Eve. It was about relationship between them and with them and God. If we go a little further in our scriptural witness to what God has been doing, we remember the Exodus story. How God freed the people from slavery. Moses took them into the desert. And what did God provide? 10 commandments, rules, regulations, you know, things to build them in terms of community and relationships together. We know from Noah to Abraham, even to our New Testament, God calls us into loving covenant, which is relationships. We promise to be certain ways with each other and with our God. And finally, we hear in our scripture witness about the prophets. When they stepped up to the plate and they were up and they were speaking for God, God said, you know, you haven't got the right relationship with me. And you haven't got the right relationship with each other. Often meaning you were ignoring the poor and the needy. You weren't even in relationship with them. We as a people, what is foundational for all of us are relationships of love. From the most intimate we have with the closest people we know, to those that we may help with the Heifer Project, overseas we will never meet, but also with our loving God. If we look at our scripture readings today, I know some of you were surprised to hear Pentecost. You know, Pastor Bill has lost his mind. This is Christmas. But there's no more important reading, I think, about who we are than that reading about the early church. What did they do when they discovered love in Jesus Christ? They came into relationship with each other, it says. From people from all over the world with more than a dozen languages. They learned how to live together as they learned from each other. They had fellowship together. They broke bread together. They prayed together. And they shared their story together in relationship. In the gospel reading today, that wonderful epiphany story, that realization that when we know who Christ is. You know, we hear that in the wise men story, how foreigners came to know who Jesus was. But look at the process that the wise men went through. You know, they saw a star. They saw, you know, what God was doing in the future. And that directed their actions in terms of who they needed to go and meet and see. And it was a child in a manger. After they saw the child, again, they were open to what God was telling them about the future. And God said, you know that guy you talked to, that King Herod? Don't go back. They were open to what God was trying to tell them in relationship. So they skipped that relationship that would have been destructive and evil, you know, all kinds of awful stuff, because they were attuned and listening to what God was telling them about their future. Our story is that we're not here to say we shouldn't remember the past, but we should use that as a tool to plan for our future in terms of love and grace. It's not, we don't mean here to say we shouldn't honor the past, but we should honor our calling and honor our future. Because we know as the past impacts our present, what the decisions we make today, our present, impacts our future in the ways we live out the full faith God calls us to be and to do. And relationships are key to that. And I don't think we talk about them enough. So I want to spend just a few moments. Again, the pencils are put away. You won't have to write a thing. Okay? And talk about areas of relationship we might want to think about and work on in the year 2007. And again, Marshall, can I have the first slide? Again, the four things, I want to talk about four things today. The rock, the foundation of who we are. The first, I believe, in terms of loving relationships, that we need to pay attention to are relationships of intimacy. Now, obviously, intimacy, sometimes that means certain things, and there's nothing wrong with that. The physical intimacy between a husband and a wife. But intimacy also has to do with those who know us and love us dearly, closely. It's parents and child. It's brother and sister. We need to make sure we are tending to relationships of intimacy in our life. Because isn't this true? If there's anything, any relationship you take for granted, which is it? It's those who are closest to you. And if we are not intentional about looking into the future, what we want to be part of with our family and those close friends and the family that we have adopted, even though we're not related to them, if we're not intentional, you know, we say, oh, we have it already. And we take it for granted. And we miss the gift of love. Or we miss the places we need to love each other. What would it mean for us to maintain and strengthen friendships and family ties? Secondly, we need to be open to others. Scriptural witness tells us always that God's people are expanding, not just in terms of one group, but expanding, you know, in terms of other groups, other people, invited into loving relationship in the community. You know, when I was raised, for those of you that know me, I was raised in Southern Ohio, a fairly traditional, conservative, cultural area. And when I grew up, it was expected that I probably would get married, and I probably would marry someone who had a European heritage. And not only that, would they be white, but also that they better be Protestant. Any of you know that story? And not only Protestant, it wouldn't be bad if they were Methodist too. And the bonus, if they had a German heritage, that would be awesome. Right? Marry your own. Do you know that story? Well, God introduced me to a conservative Vietnamese Catholic in 1977. You know, that gift of that love to me, because somehow God opened my heart to those who were different and somebody who was different than what I was raised with and allowed me to break free from that expectation of being only in my own group. Third, we need to maintain and think about how are we involved and continue to be part of communities of grace. Our church, faith groups, service groups we are part of, small groups or Bible studies, music teams, you know, mission teams that are here. Coffee group, you know, friends that you meet for coffee. Those are communities of grace. Even if you don't talk about God. You know, support groups that you are part of. For those of you that are in the service and maybe served in a war. You know, there's no stronger community of grace I know than veterans that meet together who've been through stuff. I mean, they are close. We need to maintain those communities of grace that keep us alive and remind us of love. Finally, we need to make sure we know the Christ child. We know our place in God's design. You know, what are children like? They're open and vulnerable and want to love us. God came as a child because God wants to be open and vulnerable and wants to love us. It's hard for us to continue to know that. We need to know it over and over again. So we need to remember, it's the rock of who we are. Relationships of intimacy, openness to others, communities of grace, and knowing the love of Christ in our lives. And I believe it works. If we think about it, and if we have those things in our life, there are powerful ways of love and grace we receive in our life. And I just want to share a brief example with you this morning. This last President Jerry Ford, you ever heard of him? For those of you who have had a chance to watch any of the TV, our ex-president passed away day before Christmas, or I forget when it was. But I've had the opportunity to listen to a little bit of his story. I didn't know much about him. When he was a president, I was in college, and that's about all I was paying attention to at the time. And sometimes not even that. So I didn't know much about him. But as I heard a little bit about his story, I want to run that story through us here. Not to say he was perfect, by no means, but to use it as an example for us. First, in terms of relationships of intimacy. As for those of you that may have heard, Marshall, thanks. For those of you that may have watched some of the stuff, I didn't know even how many kids he had. But in all the witnesses and all the talk about President Ford's life, it was clear he had a close relationship with his three sons, with his daughter, and with his wife, Betty Ford. That they had a close family relation. They were a normal family that they did stuff together. And that showed in them celebrating and mourning his passing. Obviously in their life, they spent some time planning how they were going to be family together. Even as he was a legislator, Speaker of the House, even as he became Vice President, President, and was part of the most difficult part in our history in terms of our local government, Watergate and Vietnam. They maintained that relationship of intimacy. And that strength I believe they got out of that showed in that witness to his life. Secondly, his openness to others. This is a hard picture to see. There's not many pictures of this. This is President Ford on a bus. And you know who he's with? Refugees from Vietnam. When that war ended, President Ford went to the Congress and said, we need to be open to refugees coming from that war. That was part of our responsibility too. And he fought other politicians on that. But because of him, right after the war, over 130,000 refugees came to our country to have safety. And you know why it's important for me? I wouldn't have had my wife. My wife was one of those. You know, when we are open to others, I believe that's the primary way God spreads God's love into the world. It's not because of some great preacher that says something. It's because when people love other people. But when we do that, what comes back? You cast your bread on the water, it comes back. When we dare to love others or open to others, we not only share the love Christ has given us, but the love comes back to us in many, many different ways. It's important to have openness to others. Third, hold on to the slide. Oh, not yet. Go ahead, put it back up there. Communities of grace. Communities of grace. As we heard about President Ford and his life, he was a strong worker in the House of Representatives, and to hear how he had friendships in that group, how sometimes it looks like they like to beat each other, don't it? But they formed ways of love and grace. And for those of you that know me, I know some of you are visiting today, some are even not from the United States, but I'm a graduate of the Ohio State University. I'm showing on the screen. I can't even say it. Meh, meh, meh. So if any of you think I'm not balanced and fair, look. Because there's a huge, it's like soccer in Brazil or some other places. You know what I'm talking about? It's a huge competitive thing. But what I heard, he found communities of grace even on the football team that he was a part of. He was an All-American center. And if you can find communities of grace in the House of Representatives, and if you can find a community of grace at the University of Michigan, you can find it any place. Right? Sorry about that last one. But think about that. He found ways of love and grace and community. It wasn't about God or what Jesus was about. He took that love, it sounds like, and he lived that in diverse ways. We need to be doing that as well. Finally, in terms of knowing the Christ child, that is the last one, right? President Ford did not talk about his religious faith as other presidents have in the past. However, right after he got out of office, and this is a picture of his church in Michigan, he has quoted a saying, "Twice I escaped an assassin's bullet, and twice I came to understand in vivid terms another message of the Apostle Paul, that what? We should trust not in ourselves, but in God, who delivered us from death and preserves us still." We need to know that. We need to know that. Now, I'm not talking about you just heard it, and you can process it, and you can write it down. You can even pass a test on it. And it gets us through being shot at or struggling through relationships or having difficulty in our life. That relationship and trust and faith in God in Jesus Christ. When we know that, it is a wonderful and a powerful thing. So today, I'm not going to pass out pencils and make you write stuff down. However, you knew that was coming, right? However, as you leave today, I want you to go home and do some work. Now, you might say, "I just want to go hear the story that he tells, and you know, he did make fun of Michigan today, so it was okay. We had a good day." Or, you know, "I heard four things, and now I've got a rock thing I can think about. It was okay." No, please take this home, and if nothing else, read through it. It talks about relationships of intimacy, family and friends, and just ask you to think about certain basic things you plan to do in 2007, like eating dinner together. It's not rocket science. It's going to ask you about it in terms of being open to others. Where are others that you know that maybe you just want to be a friend to for a while? And what are other groups you may want to learn about this coming year? In terms of communities of grace, you know, where are you planning of making sure you're a part of those communities of grace? Making commitments to be in church? I got to say that. I'm the pastor, right? But make sure we are part of those communities of grace. And finally, knowing. I'm just going to ask you to read a sentence about knowing the Christ child. They're going to pass this out. Please take it home. It's got pictures of a President Ford to remind you what we talked about. Read through it minimum. If you really want to impact your year, jot some notes down and keep it, you know, in your day planner, you know, a place where you know it's at. You're not going to be able to do all the stuff that you write down. That's okay. But the more we look into the future, the more we can know and live those relationships of love and grace. Next week, I want to talk about brokenness and sin. And I know you're not going to want to come to that one. But please be here for that. As we look at those ways in which perhaps God could touch us and move us in our brokenness and sinfulness in our life. Let's bow for a moment of prayer. Most loving God, we thank you for the love with which you hold us. We thank you for the bread and the cup we have received as it reminds us of your loving relationship to us. Now open us this day that we might look at our relationships of intimacy and strengthen them in 07. That we might be open to others in our immediate experience, but open to others who are different from us. That we might make commitments to those communities of grace that strengthen us. They don't take from us, but they strengthen us. And finally, we might know your love and grace in the Christ child. All this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you please now...